I'd like to invite you over to the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 17. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 17. If you know where Joshua is, you know Judges is next, and then Ruth, in case you need a little help on that. It's one of those small books that are kind of tucked away. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 17 reads this way. It says, "Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went on until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass that when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne, thanking you once again for the privilege that we have to gather together and to open your word. And Lord, to assemble together as your church, your body. And Lord, knowing that where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we pray for the blessing, the filling of your Holy Spirit, that you might guide our hearts to hear from you, and Lord, to be drawn closer to you and strengthen in the faith that you've given to us, and you might impart to us more wisdom and more understanding. And then, Lord, if there's one or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you reveal to them that great need that they have, and we'll praise you for that. Again, Lord, bless your word, bless your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The title of the message there is found in verse 17, and it says, "If aught but death part thee in me," that's one title. The other title can be simply, "A Picture of the Love of God." A picture of the love of God. So this morning on Mother's Day, as we consider our text, we'll find this beautiful account, really, of the love of God shared between a mother-in-law and two daughters-in-law. Don't forget the other one, Orpah. There's two daughters-in-law that are involved here. And so we're going to consider four quick thoughts this morning, and that is uncertain beginnings. That's the first thought. The second is the heart of Naomi revealed, specifically revealed to us, and Naomi's concern for her daughter-in-law, and then Orpah and Ruth's choice. Everybody has a choice to make, amen? God never forces himself on anybody. We choose, choose you this day whom you will serve. What does that mean? Choose you this day whom you will obey, amen? That's what it means, who you will obey. This society does not like that word. They, in fact, in marriage ceremonies today, they try to remove that from the wife saying that to the husband, that you will follow and obey. And they cringe. They don't like that idea. But listen, we all obey somebody. We'll either obey the Lord or we will obey ourselves. That's basically the bottom line. And that's where the Bible tells us that everyone, naturally speaking, does that which is right in their own eyes. Notice it doesn't say that which is wrong, but that which is right. Now, they can be wrong, but in their minds, they're doing that which is right, right? And so we also have that tendency. Just because we know the Lord doesn't mean that we can't do that which is right in our own eyes, in our own ways. Naomi here, she says, listen, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because the Lord has dealt very bitterly with me. Well, there's one thing that Naomi didn't realize that God was doing. She was getting ready to be placed in the very lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ and didn't know it. So sometimes we can be going through some difficult trials, and God is working out some wonderful things in our lives. So let's back up here to verse 3, if you will, and let's notice these uncertain beginnings. Verse 3 says this, it says, "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died." That's not expected. They didn't expect to go down there and him die down there. I'm sure he probably would have stayed if he knew he was going to die. But this was all in keeping with God's guidance and God's will. In spite of whatever we see at first hand right here, God is still working together all things for his honor and glory and for our good as well. And so he dies, Naomi's husband died, and she was left and her two sons. Verse 4 says, "And they took them, the two sons, wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. So this is a good 10 years after the husband had died, and she's developing a relationship. This mother-in-law is developing a beautiful relationship with her daughters-in-law because they wanted to follow her. Amen? That it wouldn't be a good, listen, unfortunately, I don't know you can blame one side or the other, but listen, I'm sure Naomi had a love for the Lord. In fact, she acknowledged the Lord. And by the way, she wasn't blaming God. She's just saying, these are the circumstances and this is the situation that I find myself in. And she went back to Bethlehem, to the people of God and to the place where is the bread of life. Amen. And so she's here with her daughters. And notice what happens here, another unexpected event in verse 5. "And Mahlon and Chilion died. Also, both of them and the women was left of her two sons, and her husband." So now she's bereaved of her sons and her husband. And all she has now are these two daughters-in-law that she had given of herself for 10 years. And so there was something that was cultivated there, and it should be so, right? If you spend 10 years with somebody, there ought to be a relationship there that is being enhanced, that is being built, and that is growing together. But that only works if we are working with the Lord, really. If you want the ultimate growth in a relationship, we must be led by the Lord. I'm sure of this. I'm sure she did not, "I'm the mother-in-law," and put down her foot. I'm sure that was not the case. This is the way, it's my way or the highway. There's a lot of people who have that mentality. Listen, it's my way or the highway does not build a relationship. Amen. It never will. It never did. And so notice this heart of Naomi revealed, not just to them, but also to us. Look at verse 6. "So after her sons had died," it says, "then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that they might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited the people in giving them bread. And so there was the famine is why they left in the first place. And now there's good news. Amen? There's good news. Let me ask you this question. Do you think Naomi could use some good news at this point in time in her life? Let me ask you this. Do you think her two daughters-in-law could have used some good news in their lives at this time? Yes, absolutely. So here's the good news, and she's excited about that. And listen, there's no doubt she loves her daughters-in-law, and there's also no doubt that they love her. And so that's a good relationship. And so they're excited, and they arise and together, and that they might return, that she might return specifically. So Naomi is thinking, I'm the only one. You're going to see that here in just a moment. I'm the one that's returning. My daughters-in-law are following me, but she has other ideas for them. So, again, verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. So she's giving an outward testimony how she was treated by her two daughters-in-law. But I want you to know that was reciprocated because of how she treated them as daughters-in-law for 10 years. And so there was a relationship there that was cultivated. Listen, if we are walking in the Spirit of Christ, then Christ is being lifted up, is he not? If God is working in our lives and the Spirit of God is guiding us to follow him, and how do we know that? Well, the Bible says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. So we're keeping the commandments of God. And there's no doubt she was doing that. And there was something attractive to the two daughters-in-law that they were enjoying in their walk. In fact, I would dare say that they said, you know, I want what she has. You ever met people that just draw you and that they're kind and they're gentle and you like being around them, right? And you want to emulate them. You want that kind of a personality. You want to be a blessing. You want to be a light, especially if you know the Lord. You want that kind of a relationship with one another. And so this was a back and forth. And now Naomi is only being considerate of her daughters-in-law. That's all she's doing. She's saying, I'm concerned about you. I think you need to go back. Because what she was looking at was herself. She said, I have nothing more to give you. I wish I did, but I have nothing. I don't even have a husband. So notice what she says here. Again, in verse 8, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you, she's asking a blessing, the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. You know what she's saying? You need to get married again. That's what she's saying. You need to, listen, may God bless you in going back. May God bless you with another family that you might enjoy life. Notice verse 9 again. Then she kissed them and they lifted up their voice and wept. Now, let me ask you this question. Did Naomi think at this point she was done right there? She listen, I have given you the okay to go back. She no doubt she knew that these two girls loved her for 10 years. They had this really close relationship, and she probably, no doubt, she suspected they were going to follow her. That's why she said, you need to go back, right? And so this is all the Lord working in her life, and I do want you to understand this. When we suffer loss like she did, listen, it's sometimes hard to see the Lord, but because of her faithfulness in prior years, God was still faithful to her, even though she couldn't see it yet. And I want you to know that Naomi was being faithful to the Lord to follow him in going back to Bethlehem. There was no reason for her to stay in the land of Moab anymore. And by the way, do you think she anticipated maybe a little bit of being looked at sideways? Do you think maybe she thought, when I come back, when the people get a load of me, they're gonna wonder what in the world happened? In fact, I would dare say she maybe felt a little uncomfortable because she was coming back without her husband and without her two sons. And so no doubt, and by the way, they said, is this Naomi? And she said, oh, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because God has dealt very bitterly with me. So that's her perspective, but she did not know that because of her relationship in the prior 10 years, and probably even before that, that God was still working even through this difficult and dark time in her life. You know, there's one thing that you and I can rest assured of, that if we will love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our soul, God will guide us even when we're in the valleys. God will guide us even when we're in the dark times. God will use us to build relationships that will carry on over into eternity. On this side of life, if we'll be yielded to Him. If we say, Lord, listen, nothing for me, everything for you. Lord, I want to love, not just to hear the will of God, but to do the will of God. That's the most important thing. If we love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, we're not just going to want to hear the word, we're going to want to do the word. Isn't that what James tells us? Don't be hearers only, but doers of the word of God. And so here she is in this difficult time. They're weeping, right? They lifted up their voice and they wept. This is the daughters-in-law. So with that said, do you think they wanted to leave their mother-in-law? They did not. Look at verse 10 here as we consider not only the heart of Naomi revealed to us, but Naomi's concern for her daughters-in-law. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. They both said this. So let's give Orpah a credit here, because she said, I'm ready to go back. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughter. She is speaking to both of them. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. You know what she's saying? I'm not even planning on getting married. That's not even in the forecast for me. And she says, if I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons tonight, which is an impossibility. You can't get married and have a child the same day. It's just not going to happen. Verse 13, would you tarry for them? So in other words, they were married for 10 years. So let's say maybe they got married young. They're still close to 30, if not 30. And so this 30-year-old's going to wait for a newborn baby. Obviously, that doesn't make any sense. And so, verse 13, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? She says, nay, my daughters, this does not make sense. For it grieveth me much, listen to this, for your sakes. Listen, you know what I care about? I care about you. You know what, listen. More than anything else. And by the way, she's not blaming the Lord. She's saying, listen, this is what's happened. The Lord is gone out against me. She believes she's, for whatever reason, maybe because she left Bethlehem with her husband, you know, some 10 years prior or what have you, or a little bit more than that, that maybe she feels that's the case. I don't know. We're not really told exactly why. Obviously, the death of her sons and the death of her husband appeared to be the judgment of God in her life. It was bad enough for her to lose her husband, but then her two sons back to back. That was not, she took it as the hand of God out against her. But let me ask you this question. Did she know what God was getting ready to do? No, she did not know. But wait a minute. Was she still following the Lord? Was she still seeking God? See, it's one thing to listen, and she says, I want to not. When we seek the Lord, we want to seek to do the will of God. We want to seek to obey Him, not just in what we like. See, she was getting ready to go back and face ridicule. She was getting ready to go back and face judgment. Do you think anybody thought, oh, gee, I wonder if you didn't get what you got because you left the Lord, or you left where you should have been, and you went out to the land of Moab of all places. And isn't it amazing how God works beyond our thinking? Who would have thought that in her going to the land of Moab, that Ruth would come into the picture that would be part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't that amazing? And so, as we consider this, we find that she's concerned. And she said, listen, the Lord has gone out against me. And she says in verse 13, for it grieveth me, it bothered her, it grieved her much, for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. She's saying, I take the full blame. The reason probably for all of this is because of whatever she's thinking, and God has judged my family. And so the last thought here is we're going to find Orpah and Ruth's choice. So both of them had a choice. Both of them had a good relationship with the Lord. With Naomi. Verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. But notice, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Now, listen, Naomi said, you can go. In fact, it was her will that they both go. But Ruth was looking for something else. You know what she was looking for? For whatever it was in the heart of Ruth, in the life of Ruth, that compelled her to go back to a God that she no doubt loved. And listen, to a people that she loved. This is nothing but the Spirit of God. How many of God's people would maybe be upset and say, I don't want any more. I've heard people, have you not heard? I don't want any more to do with the Lord. God, listen, has judged me. His hand has gone out against me. But that was not ever the life, and that was not ever the attitude, and that was not ever the heart of Naomi. And these two daughters saw that. That is the only reason why they were going back to Bethlehem with her. By the way, they've never been there. And they had no idea what to expect. And Ruth has never been there. But what she found was the love of God in the heart of her mother-in-law. Oh, listen. Mothers hold a great influence in the present and in the next generation, sometimes more than we ever consider. And it would do all of moms a blessing and a benefit to humbly walk with the Lord and say, Lord, not my will, but your will. And how many places of our lives should we say, Lord, your will be done in my life? And just the ones that we choose, or in all the areas? Lord, I don't ever want to walk contrary. I don't ever want to walk against anything that you have said. Because listen, lives are at stake. She would have never had the influence in the lives of her daughters-in-law if she had not had a relationship that was vibrant, genuine, and sincere through and through. And so notice what happens here. She says, in fact, verse 14 again, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Naomi, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. She says, what I see in you is of greater value than anything, listen, I could ever find back home. That is the only reason why she went. She says, I see something in you. Listen, she says, I see something in you that I can't live without. Amen. That she saw the Lord moving in her. Listen, she was not bitter. She was stating facts. She thought the Lord was dealing bitterly. And to a certain degree, we must say those were bitter pills, weren't they? The loss of her husband, the loss of her sons, those were very difficult things. And so she says, look at your sister-in-law. She's gone back. You go back also. But Ruth says in verse 16, entreat me not. You know what she's saying? To leave thee. Entreat me not. Don't ask me. Don't plead with me, please. Or return from following after thee. Then she says this statement. For whether thou goest, I will go. And whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Listen to this. And thy God, my God. There it is. That's what she was after. She saw in her what she could never see in anybody else, especially in the land of Moab. And she said, I'm willing to make your people my people and your God my God. Wow. What a testimony of a godly mother-in-law. How about this? Wow. What a testimony for your life and mine. Amen? That we ought to have that same testimony and same desire and same longing and same thirsting and same hungering after. Notice verse 17, where thou diest, will I die. Is she committed? And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. She's taking a vow. She's saying, I want you to know how serious I am about this. It's good for God's people to be serious, don't you think? Amen. Listen, Ruth was serious. God saw that and blessed her for it. Did she not? Did he not? God saw her commitment. Amen. May God see ours as well. Not to ourselves or to what we think, but to what the Word of God has spoken. Lord, my commitment is to you. It's not up for debate on what people might think and what people might say, but it's written in your Word. Lord, my commitment is to what your Word has penned down for me, and that's what I'm... Lord, listen, don't allow me to go to the right hand or to the left hand. I want to walk right down the middle with you, exactly as you would have me to walk. That's how lives are impacted. For the glory of God. And she was making this impact. And by the way, here it is. I'm convinced of this. Naomi was not concerned about what other people thought. That's not, you cannot follow Jesus looking around like this. You have to, we have to keep our eyes on the Lord. Amen. And what does that mean to keep our eyes on the Lord? On what he has said. And that we would follow it and not turn from it from to the right hand a little bit or to the left hand, but that we would wholly lean to it and not our way of thinking. Our way of thinking will mislead us and will always mislead us. So she made this commitment to her. And notice what she saw, verse 18. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. She said, you know what? The discussion is over. She saw this. Listen, for 10 years, she knew her, right? She goes, oh, listen, I know when she's set on it, she's set on it. That ought to be a testimony of a believer. You know what? Listen, Lord, we're going to follow you. Amen? And I want you, listen, the world ought to know when they come to talk to us, we don't vary. We don't turn to the right and to the left. If God says that the man desires the idea of being a bishop or a pastor, this might be unpopular. That means there's no women in the pastorate. Oh, Brother George, you sure you should say that today? Absolutely. It's in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. And if God calls something sin, even though the world doesn't call it sin, it's still sin. We're not going to turn from the right or to the left hand. We're not going to cower down by the grace of God because we want to serve the Lord with how much of our heart? How much of our mind? How much of our soul? So our commitment ought to be to the Lord and not to anybody else, including ourselves. So, verse 19. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass that when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? There they are. What happened here? Well, here's what happened. God was working in their lives, and we're not going to get into the rest of the story. Naomi had some ideas of what God was doing, but she did not know all the good things that were lay in store for her that were getting ready to happen. You know why? Because she had a heart for God. And her heart for God led her to influence two daughters-in-law for the honor and glory of the Lord. Specifically, one that followed her all the way. Listen, do you know that's what God asks us to do? That we might be true to Him? Because it's not just for godly mothers. It's for every child of God. To follow the Lord and be committed to look to His Word to guide us. Lord, we hold you in the highest authority. And more than my understanding, and more than what I think, is the Word of God. This morning, God would say, if you want to, in fact He has, if you will abide in me and I in you, guess what happens? You're going to bear fruit. And if you abide in me and if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. How many of them? Oh, not most of them? Oh, all of them. And it would grieve our hearts, would it not? If we discounted one of them, if we would just look at one and say, no, Lord, you know what? This one, not for me today. When we would realize that God enables us, that's why the paraclete was given. Another one. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit by name, that would empower. We don't have the power to do this on ourselves. It has to be God. And listen, as you look through the Word of God, you will always see that it is what God has done for the believer and the believer has enjoyed. So today, the only way that we might enjoy the grace of God in our lives, even through the dark times, even through the difficult times, is by being completely surrendered, amen, and submitted and yielded, and that we might present ourselves a living sacrifice. Lord, I want to be your sacrifice. And here's one thing I know. I need you to show that to me. I need you to do that for me because I can't do it. So, we find here a picture of the love of God. But her commitment, listen, was this. If aught but death part thee and me. That was her commitment. She said, the only thing that's going to take me away from following after you is death. Can we say that about our God? The only thing that's going to part from me, Lord, I want to have a heart to follow you. And may the only thing that parts me from following you be death. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne. We do thank you, Lord, for your word, the understanding and the wisdom, Lord, that it brings, the guidance, and Lord, the life of Christ in us to make an impact and an influence on the next generation, just like Naomi did. And Lord, may we leave the results with you. May we trust you and you alone, Lord, not even ourselves. May we look to you alone and follow after you and your will and your righteousness, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bless Northwood Baptist Church, Lord, to truly walk with you and be the light that you've called us to be by your grace and your power. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.